I'm going to start with you this evening in Romans, the 7th chapter. And I was doing some meditating yesterday and today. And gosh, it was awesome because in Romans chapter 7, and I don't know why I haven't seen it before, probably because I was waiting on God to show it to me. How about if I say it that way? But Romans chapter 7 is something that we've heard many times, and it has to do with sin and the journey from Adam to Christ, and Adam allowing God to reveal who he is in Christ. So I want to look at that this evening and begin to see it. And if we have time, we may go look at it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because that especially is a place where I assigned that reading assignment to you all several months ago in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. So the journey of Adam to Christ is so important because, well, that's how the story starts in the book of Genesis, and is literally how it ends in the book of Revelation with the revelation of Jesus. And so it is all important to all of us to understand the story and to see the importance of it and why God is telling the story over and over and over again in order for us to get the revelation of Jesus Christ or come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. So how many understand that Paul, when he was, before he was apostolic, before Paul was apostolic, what was Paul? He calls himself a sinner. He calls himself a Pharisee. He calls himself a soldier. So he never calls himself a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? He just doesn't, because he doesn't believe in Jesus. In fact, he thinks that Jesus is against God. He doesn't believe that Jesus came to make manifest the true God. And so Paul, in his mission of life, or I should say Saul, in his mission of life, was to do away with Christianity, because people that followed Jesus were sinning against God and sinning against Israel. So Paul came to wipe them out. Until all of a sudden, Paul on the road to Damascus saw a great light. And when he saw the great light, the light spoke to him. And he knew immediately that when the light spoke, it was the word from heaven. And he knew that the word from heaven was Jesus Christ. Now that's amazing. So Paul begins to understand some things. So Paul immediately gets blinded of the Lord. And we can read this in Acts, the 8th chapter, right? The whole story. But Paul immediately becomes blinded. And when he's blinded by the light, all of a sudden he can't think about himself anymore. He can't think about Saul and Saul's mission to eliminate Christianity. It's no longer there. He can't think about it anymore. And 3 days later, Ananias comes and lays hands on him. The scales fall off his eyes. He can now see. But all he can see is who he is in Jesus Christ. Now the revelation of Christ is at hand in him. And so I want to read for just a moment here, because it's very important to all of us that if we will forsake our life, that we will, the same experience that Paul had becomes the story of God in us. So it's not unique in Paul, but it is unique to Jesus Christ. Because it's the performance of the Word of God in Christ Jesus to reveal himself to us. And so it's very important that we hear it. So let me start in Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to start with verse 1. Spend some time with me here in the reading of the Word of God tonight, because it's important that we do so in order to make the point. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. So Paul's introducing Jesus, or introducing himself. Let me put it that way. Paul is introducing himself under a law. because it becomes entirely important to you that until the law is known in you, that you do not know who you are. But when the law comes, what revives? Sin revives, and I die. Oh, now the story of Adam is made alive and quickened to you. So did God give Adam a commandment? And the answer, of course, he did. Told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But like Gary taught on Monday night, was that the only commandment that God gave to Adam? And the answer is no. God gave him many. Even commanded him to take care of the garden, correct? So even gave him a commandment that he could eat of every tree of the garden except that tree. And so, but when that commandment was given to Adam, this is important, because as soon as Adam got the commandment from God, all of a sudden something happened in Adam's mind. Because from that onset, Adam began to commune with another thought that did not come from God. And he began to be challenged within himself about what God said. So let's look at it this way. Of course, Ellen's question is why? Look at yourself. Because, listen, we're not talking about Adam distinctly as a man of flesh that is different than anyone else. No, Adam is a man made by God, and so are you. So the story that is being made known in Adam is the same story that's being made known in you. So when we look at Adam, we say why? No. Look at who you are in the story and let God begin to reveal the why in you, so that you begin to understand why God revealed the Word of God to you. Because as soon as God revealed the Word of God to you, what happened? Sin revived and I died. As soon as it took place, sin revived and I died. So was sin already present? And the answer is yes. Because in order for sin to revive, it had to already have been there. Who put it there? God put it there because God has something he wants you to know. And one of those things that he wants you to know is how very powerful God is to teach his son how to overcome sin, death, and the devil. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus overcome sin, death, and the devil? Did he do it for you? Yes, he did. So now, because of what Jesus did for you, can you now know how to overcome sin, death, and the devil? And the answer, of course, is yes, you can. That's the story. The source, the story is to take you from Adam to Christ, birth you again, thus we become born again, birth you again, take you out of the thought of Adam, and bring you into the thought of Christ. So Paul would testify then that I have the mind of Christ, because he went through the process of the salvation of Jesus Christ in the gospel to release the mind of Adam and to set him forth in the mind of Jesus Christ, which brought him into the perfection as a son. Very, very awesome. And so, likewise, the same thing is being done for you today in the Word of God. It is exactly the same. That's why God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it is the same. Let me go on. I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So, everybody that he's writing to understands that when you are married, You are bound by that law of marriage to the man you married until the man dies. When the man dies, what happens then? You're released from it. You are no longer bound by the marriage covenant to that man. That's pretty awesome. That does not give the woman the, how do I want to say it? It doesn't mean that the woman can go out and kill her husband just so she can be released from the law. Because then another law becomes present. Another law becomes present. So it becomes ascribed or prescribed of God as to how the whole thing works in and of himself in Jesus Christ. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Now listen, this is not talking outwardly. This is talking about inwardly. And when it addresses the woman, it's talking about her who is given of God in you to create all things in Jesus Christ. So if the woman becomes defiled, what is she going to create? Is she going to create all things in Christ Jesus, or is she going to create all things in and of herself? It's in and of herself. So when Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, when the time that she believed it should have been fulfilled for her to have a son and she didn't have one, did she trust the Lord or did she trust herself? She trusted herself. And she offered her husband a strange woman or a strange thought or an adulteress. And when Abraham went in and took of the adulteress and produced a son, did God accept it? No. This is not what I promised. This is not according to my word. This is according to another word. Same thing happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve took of the tree, did eat, and gave to her husband. Now, it becomes very important to all of us that we begin to understand how important the woman is to the man, thus how important the man is to the woman, and that in Christ they are both one. So we want to, in this life and in the mind that is earthly, we want to separate the man and the woman into what we see in this life. So I'm not talking about Dave and Connie. I'm talking about who Connie is in Dave by the Holy Ghost or by the Spirit of God or by the truth of the Word of God. And who Connie is in Dave by the truth of the Word of God is that who God hath honored from the beginning. He gave it to Dave, or he gave her to Dave, and I'm just using Connie and I because I don't know another woman better than I know my wife. So I can use that description and mean it. It means something to me, so I can use it that way. So God, who Connie is in Dave, Connie is a righteous woman in Dave to bring forth the fruit of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, she becomes my new Jerusalem to bring forth the sons of God. But if I were to defile my wife, then what would happen? What would be the fruit that would come from my wife? It would be a fruit that is not of God. Thus, everything that would produce would be an outward, would take the Son of God outward, and he would struggle within himself all the days of his life. So that's the story that's being told, that there is a work that God has set forth in the man where a righteous woman produces fruit or eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil only in understanding and wisdom to bring forth the righteousness of God in the sons of God. So that's saying a lot. That's a mouthful of thought that I just put out there on you guys. But it's the truth. So when we look at Adam and Eve, it's important that we understand Adam, and it's also important that we understand Eve, because Eve was in Adam. So then God, in order for Adam to understand what took place, what brought forth sin in Adam, he had to separate or take Eve out of Adam. Isn't that what the story says? So he took a rib from Adam, right? Put Adam in a deep sleep, took a rib from Adam, and made forth a woman. So now Eve was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In other words, she was of Adam. Where did Adam come from? From the dust of the ground, but from what? From the mind of God. Let's say it this way. From the mind of Christ. He was what God said he was. Let us make man after our own image. He was a spiritual man. That's what he was. That's what he's going to become again. So when God put Adam in a deep sleep, it's to show him, it's to bring forth in Adam and to show him how sin entered into the world. Wow. That's why the Bible said, it says it both ways though. It was Adam's transgression, but who transgressed? Eve. But it was still Adam's transgression because Eve was where? In Adam. Now those things are hard for us to recognize because in the mind of the flesh, man, where are we stuck at? We are stuck in this earthly plane, seeing man and woman and seeing the difference between the two, right? And so when we give in marriage and we see man and woman become one in marriage, man, the interpretation of that in our minds almost becomes a wrong interpretation right from the start, if I can say it to you that plainly, because it does. Because neither the man nor the woman has the understanding of God's intent from the beginning. And the Word of God, what does it contain? Well, let's look at it this way. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, it says that the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful. Right? Rightly dividing the thought and intent of the heart. So in thought and intent of the heart, there is both good and evil, but also God's intent for mankind is known by that same word. So it's important that these things be quickened in us by the Holy Ghost, that we wait upon God for God to begin to show us and to divide for us good and evil, righteousness and sinfulness, so that we know the difference between what is God and what is not God. Because I will tell you, even now, after all the time we've spent sowing the seed of righteousness into you by the good word of faith, what is the thing that we struggle the most with? It's the discovery or the intent of good and evil within the heart. We struggle with it big time. Not understanding God. That's what we struggle with. Yet every word that is given to, or sown into you is given to reveal who? Given to reveal God. Given to reveal the Son of God. Given to reveal Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Likewise, my brothers, verse 4, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So now, if I believe in Jesus Christ, where am I at when it comes to the law? I'm free from the law. Is that good or bad? It's good. It's awesome. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So is there a fruit unto death? Obviously there is, right? But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, which was sin, right? So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So the law came, sin revived, I died. Jesus Christ came, took the law out of the way, raised me up into a new way of life, so that now I am free from the law and alive unto Christ. Praise be to God. I'm now a new creature. I'm now a new man. But what still works in the mind? The flesh. The law of flesh. Or the law of sin, right? It still works. Why is that? Because I allow it. I allow, because I'm not mature. The understanding and wisdom of God hasn't brought me to the place where I am. I've been released from it, but it still works. You are in a deep sleep, but can it? How about for Saul? How about Peter? Why not? So Ellen's question is, can you be half awake and half asleep? And the answer is yes. It is a process. Stay in the process, right? The minute we leave the process, we are removing ourselves from the hearing of the Word of God. Yes? So let me ask you this question, though. Does that mean that we can make excuses for ourselves? Yes. And the answer to my question is no. We cannot excuse ourselves. So if I'm slower to come into it than someone else, don't look at someone else. Because we know that. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it many times, do not compare yourself to another, ever. Why would you compare yourself to an elder? Why would you compare yourself to a deacon? Yeah, it would be because of lust. And it will cause you to err. It'll cause you to strive. It will cause you to go after something that God hath not given you. So it becomes very important that we stay, we've heard it this way, stay in the lane where God has you. Don't leave the lane that God has you in. Because God knows where you are, and God knows what you have need of. And He's working there for you. Amen? So never compare yourself to another. Because the minute you compare yourself to another, you are out. You took yourself out. What will happen when you compare yourself to another? Be free to answer. C word. Condemnation. That's how it works within. So in the consciousness, we will fall into condemnation. Now, verse 7. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. The law is not sin. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would have not known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So, the law came. Why did sin revive? Because it taught me what sin was. And in the mind, it's just like Adam in the garden. God said, do not eat of the tree. What did Adam immediately begin to think about? Eating of the tree. Because God said, the day you eat of the tree, what's going to happen? You will surely die. And in Adam's mind, he heard, you shall not surely die. You'll just become like God. And so when we hear it, sin revives, and what we think we heard is this. I can take of it, and I will be like God. So we were talking about before we started tonight about King Tyrus, right? Who was really Lucifer. And in Lucifer, what worked in Lucifer? The five what? Five I wills. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Or we can say it like this. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. Same thing. It works the same. Remember when Lou, God bless her, when we were all at the Bible study at the Nottingham House, and Rick and Brian were there, and Lou goes, "Well, I want to know." And Brian and Rick are there around the table, and Brian goes, "Did you ever think, Lou, that maybe that wasn't good? Huh? No. Not then, did she? I want to know. No, I want to know. Lou, did you ever think that that's not good? Because what is it? What's working? Lust. Lust is working. What caused the lust to work? The Word of God came revealing sin, and it caused in her mind to want to know more about sin and not more about Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment. Now listen to this. This is what we're describing tonight. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness, for apart from the law, sin lies dead. So then, when the Word of God comes to us, sin revives, I die. But what else happens when the Word of God comes to us? Huh? You're alive. Well, how about when the Word of God come, did Jesus come? Yes. He's the Word of God, isn't he? Jesus came, but we heard it as sin. That's how we heard it. And so then we would call the law evil, right? Was the law evil? The Bible just said no. You know, the law was not evil. The law was good. What caused it to be evil? The way I heard it. My interpretation of it. So in the Old Testament, it would say we call good evil and we call evil good. Just like the Jews. What did they call Jesus? They called him evil. What did they call themselves? Good. So Jesus was evil, but they were good. We call good evil and evil good. That's how we get it in the mind. We get totally confused because our perception is where? Is it on Christ or is it on ourselves? And we go outward with it, judging our own selves, not according to the truth. And we miss it all. And you know what? It's amazing to me, and I'm talking about Dave Lowry tonight, not about any of you. It's amazing that when we begin to confess that good is evil and evil good, you know what we want to do from the fruit of it? We want to run out and tell our neighbors that we have received the Word of God and that they need it too. Hear me. This is what we do. And so we want to run out, tell people about Jesus Christ, and sow into them our own interpretation of what we think it is, not knowing the righteousness of God by the Holy Ghost. Tragic. Let me go on. The very commandment, verse 10, that promised life proved to be death to me. Did you hear that? So here came the commandment. The commandment came to be life in me. But what did it produce? Death. Amazing. Folks, we're talking about your mind. We're talking about how you hear the Word of God. For sin, now listen, seizing an opportunity through the commandment deceived me, and through it killed me. So was it the Word that killed you, or was it sin that lied within that killed you. It was the sin. This is why I have said many times in the past, we do not understand the depth of sin in our conversation today, right? You're blessed, all of you, because you have put yourself in a place where God is going to begin to instruct you in the depth of sin because he's after it. He is after the root of sin. But he only goes after it in Jesus Christ. When you try to go after it yourself, you try to go save someone, you better be ready because you are going to take on something you never. It's just like the seven sons of Sceva. What did they try to do? Did they try to go out and preach Jesus? Right? And what did the Spirit say when they knocked on the door? Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But you, we've never heard of. And they consumed them. Listen. Listen to me closely tonight. Sin is present, but the only one that can overcome sin is Jesus Christ. He is the only one. And God hath put him or given him for you. Because sin wants to overcome the work of God in you and keep you in burdens and keep you in mindsets that take you out and don't allow you to go in. So the law, verse 12, is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be, that sin might be shown to be what? Sin. So the Word of God came, right? Sin became alive. Why did it become alive? Because God is showing you what sin is. And that you are not sin. Never God's intent to call you a sinner. Never God's intent to say that sin will overcome you. It was never God's intent for you to be overcome of sin. God sent the Word of God in Christ Jesus to overcome sin in you and to make you what God says you are as a son. Can the Son of God sin? No. God called you a son. Thank goodness. He sent his son Jesus to take on the sin of the world. Amen. Sin revived David. So sin revived in David, right? But did David give himself over to the sin that sin would finish him? Or did David call upon the name of the... Did God show up to show David his sin? He did the right thing. He turned to God and believed the Lord. Sin was taken away. And David continued as a king over Israel. That's pretty awesome. Okay, where was I? I was on 13. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Wow. So God gave Adam a commandment in the garden, right? And when God gave Adam a commandment, said, don't eat of that tree, and Adam went and ate of the tree, did Adam become sin, or was Adam still the Son of God? he's still a son of God. So now God is going to put Adam in a deep sleep. Adam. All you online, Adams. God put you in a deep sleep for what reason? To teach you what sin is, because you are not sin. He's separating the Son of God from sin, because the Son of God cannot sin. I am going to go, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous, as God is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So God sent his word to you to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. And you, here's the funny thing. Until the word of God came, you didn't even know you were in the works of the devil. You were blind to it. But the word of God came and enlightened your heart, just like it enlightened Paul's heart or Saul's heart. And when Saul was enlightened by the word of God, he turned from his wicked works, repented, and called upon the name of the Lord. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? No one, now listen to this. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Do we not believe these things? Well, why is that? Why do we? And are we looking at ourselves inwardly, or are we looking at ourselves outwardly? Outwardly. That's why God came, to show you who you are inwardly, not outwardly. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Right? Walk in the light as he is in the light. Keep the sayings of Jesus. Is Jesus inward or outward? He's inward. He's not outward. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Oh, my goodness. So, it becomes apparent then, when we hear the word of God, what's it going to do in us? It's going to stir up sin. But who has overcome sin? Jesus Christ. So am I going to look at Jesus who overcomes sin, or am I going to look at the sin and become sin? What am I going to do? You know what we do too many times? We look at the sin and not look at who God says we are. God has called you a son. Now, let me go back to, and God's teaching you that, right? If I keep the sayings of Jesus, how am I going to walk? I'm going to walk righteously. And the sayings of Jesus are always going to be quickened in my mind. Always. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. Okay, so the law is what? The commandment of God is what? Spiritual, because it came from God who is spirit. But I am flesh. Isn't that what the apostle just said? I am flesh. Sold under sin. For I, because in Adam, what happened? Did all die in Adam? But in Christ Jesus, all are what? All are made alive. For I do not understand my own actions. He just said it. What did he say? What did he just say? I don't understand. So because we don't understand, does sin still have power over us? So what has God come to do? Impart unto you understanding. By the Holy Ghost. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. For if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it. Now listen, but the sin that dwells within me. So what causes me to not understand? Sin does. Because the minute you understand, you now have power over sin. So when the Word of God comes, it's coming to impart what? Understanding. But if I keep looking at myself in the flesh, if I keep looking at sin, what's going to happen to the understanding? It'll go away. So I find, okay, where did I leave off? Oh, there. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Amen? Nothing good in the flesh. Let me read that again. Nothing good in the flesh. So what's the flesh? Okay, it's death, no understanding, it's the carnal mind. Is it the way you think when you don't think about Jesus? Yes. So what's good in the flesh? Nothing. Nothing good in the flesh. Where did I just leave off? 17, 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but I do not have the ability to carry it out. Oh, does that sound familiar to anyone? Huh? Okay, so listen, I'm going to tell you this. If you don't think you have the ability to carry it out, what are you believing? The lie. Quit believing the lie. Because it's not true. Otherwise, you make God a liar. And God is not a liar. God hath called you a son. God hath put you in prophecy. God has sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, to take away the sin of the world. God hath done all these great things for you. And you still say, I can't do it. That's a lie. It's all been done for you in Jesus Christ. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I to do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law then. When I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members, in my thoughts, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now listen to the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but my flesh serves the law of sin. That's why he said, in the mind of the flesh, or in the flesh, there is no good thing. Right? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if I'm walking in the mind of Christ, can I go into condemnation? No. Because now sin's being constantly overcome. It's constantly there. The winner of the war is at hand. Even though the war is ever present, the war is at hand. The war is being overcome. And the enemy is being put down because I'm walking in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Is that true or not? It's true. For God hath done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Do you know that the mystery of godliness is right there? It's right there. What we just read is the mystery of righteousness, the mystery of godliness being revealed. Wow. For God hath done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. So Israel received the law, right? Could they keep it? No. Because they tried to work it after the flesh, according to the flesh. I'll never forget being the first time in being raised up in Pentecostal preaching and believing I received the Holy Ghost and yet knowing that sin became more prevalent or more present at any time in my life and not understanding how that could be. And certainly not believing that the gospel of Jesus Christ was taking it all out of the way so that I could be presented as the Son of God. This is why the word continue becomes so important to each and every one of us. Because even tonight, in believing the word of God, is sin going to be stirred up? But what else is being stirred up? Faith in the Son of God who loves you and gave himself for you. That the mystery of godliness is being revealed in you even now. Wow. And the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is overcoming sin, death, and the devil. And God hath said that you are his son, and God is making you to be his son. So we're in a wonderful place at a wonderful time to begin to see that we are no longer in the flesh. The flesh is being overcome. That doesn't mean that every thought of flesh is not in us anymore. No. It just means that, it means this, that we are walking in sonship, believing the word of God, believing the word of truth that came from heaven. And that as we continue in it and the word continues to come to us, every thought of flesh, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be overcome. Until the day star arise in your heart, and glory be to God, the day star arises in your heart, and you look in the mirror and you no longer see yourself. Now you see the glory of the Lord. And you see that you have been changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God hath changed you. He hath changed you, and he's going to continue to change you. And we used to sing this old song years ago. He's changing me. He's changing me. From earthly things to the heavenly. His image and likeness. What's that go? His image and likeness to be seen in me. So in summing everything up tonight, do not believe the lie. What's the lie? That the mind of the flesh describes to you who you are. That's a lie. The mind of Christ describes to you who you are. The mind of the flesh is sin. The mind of Christ is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do not accept when it's in your mind and you go into condemnation, you tell your mind, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God, and he has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I guarantee you, you shall be revived in sonship. You shall be revived in Jesus Christ, and you shall know that he is the one true God. He is the life of the Spirit. Amen.